Yes, I say, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. We ain't faking it. Oh, a lot of shaking going on.
Attention, please.
Well, I say, come on over, baby.
Oh, attention, please, indeed. I didn't even say that. Somebody said that on my behalf. And I think that was the voice of Steve Evans, but I'm Phil Andrus. And we are going to be talking with three women about two different topics here on Attention, Please. Today, first, Laura Guth. We are going to talk about her recruiting volunteers for the vaccination clinics, of which there are more and more all the time. And then we're going to talk with Cindy Finney and Mari Mullen about Buskers on the Block and the First Federal Community Foundation Board as well. So we're going to start with Ruth, and we're going to say hello, Ruth, and welcome to Attention, Please.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, and how are you?
Doing fine.
You're one busy person these days.
It's been the past year has been fairly busy for those of us who volunteer with Department of Emergency Management.
And that was my first question. You yourself are a volunteer as well.
Yes, I am. I actually started a couple years ago, and primarily I focus on the community emergency response team training. But since COVID started, that's changed. So now I'm working as a volunteer coordinator, soliciting and keeping track of and managing all the volunteers we have stepping forward to help out with our COVID-19 vaccination clinics.
And there are several of those. There are probably even more than I can count. How many do we actually have in the county right now?
At the moment, we are supporting four different efforts. One is the call center, which we have in the Emergency Operations Center. They're the folks who are making appointments for people who haven't been able or haven't been successful in doing it online. We also are supporting the Jefferson Healthcare Vaccination Clinic up behind Manresa Castle. We have a county clinic that we put on. The next one will be April 17th at Chimicum High School. And we have just started to physically support Tri-Area Pharmacy with their Chimicum Grange clinic by providing volunteers. We've been providing volunteers to make appointments for them, but now we're actually giving vaccinations and helping out with the paperwork on site.
Is this rather a 40-hour volunteer job for you? It sounds like it's 40 and more.
It can be. It certainly could be, yes.
And are you?
But it's been a wonderful experience working with everybody who's stepped up to help out.
And you are stationed in the EOC?
My office, when I go into the office, is there in the EOC. Most of the time I work from home.
Of course, aren't we all working from home, except when we can't. Are you scheduling also the medical volunteers or just the non-medical ones?
Right now, I just handle the non-medical. As the cadre grows, we may be switching that around. We're also bringing on some more people who are stepping up and learning how to manage the volunteers. So we're growing as necessary.
And about how many do you think you have on your email list? I get emails from you. The reason that I knew to get in touch with you was I know you're looking for more volunteers. We'll talk about that in a moment. But curious, how many approximately are on your email list? How many people turn up on a typical day? Or a typical week, better to say.
I have over 300 non-medical volunteers on my list, of which over 200 of them actually have volunteered and help out, primarily at Jefferson Healthcare. We need about 24 a day or so up at Jefferson. So it's been a rewarding experience. And the cool thing is, by managing everyone, I'm meeting all the names. And when I actually work out there myself, I get to put names and faces together and seeing how many folks are signing up, not just once or twice, but two or three times a week to step up and help out. It's been really good.
And you are looking for more people. 300 sounds like many, many people, but it probably will not be enough as we go through the summer and into the fall, which is exactly what we expect.
Yes, and that's the one thing we have to watch out for is burnout, is people who they reach a point where they have been vaccinated, they have been volunteering, and it just gets to be too much for them. So we do need a large cadre of people that we can call upon so nobody is overtasked.
Nowadays, or at least soon, I guess the middle of this month, the threshold for being eligible for a vaccination will probably be reduced to include everyone, but one of the advantages of volunteering has been that those who volunteer need to be vaccinated first.
We have been able to work out with primarily with Jefferson Healthcare that the folks who are who are volunteering, at the end of the day, there's usually a couple of shots left over people who hadn't shown up for their appointment. And we've been able to work out that our volunteers are first in line to get those excess shots.
Okay.
So at this point, we're pretty much all of our volunteers have been vaccinated.
And the last question and the most important question, Laura Guth, is how do people get in touch with you? How do they get to be on your email list? How much training is necessary and how much time commitment do you require?
It's easy to get hold of me. I'll just give you my email address when we're finished with this. The time commitment, our training program is all on site. For Jefferson Healthcare, we've been able to work it out where the first shift you sign up for is a trainee shift, and it's marked out, separated out as a trainee shift. That gives you the opportunity to spend about 20 minutes or so at all of the positions and learn how the process goes. And then the next time you sign up, you're thrown right into the mix as just a regular volunteer. The same is pretty much true for all of our other areas, that we give you the training on site the first time you show up, and then from then on, you're qualified to go ahead and do the job for whichever shift you sign up for. Our shifts, depending on the venue, Jefferson Healthcare, we've kept it to 2.5 hours because you're on your feet the entire 2.5 hours. For the county, and again, these are all non-medical volunteers, but for the county clinic, I believe those are 4-hour shifts in the morning or in the afternoon. Same thing with Tri-Area in the morning or in the afternoon for 4 hours. And then the call center, they've set up a pretty nice roster themselves where they vary between 4 and 5 hours. All depends on the traffic. And that's true for all of our volunteer slots. They very much depend on the vaccine availability. If we don't have any vaccine to give, we're not holding a clinic, so we don't need folks at that time. And then other times, we'd like to grow our vaccine clinic, the ability to give up to 1,000 shots a day. Will we ever get that much vaccine? Remains to be seen.
But we hope we do. One last question, of course. How do people get in touch with you, Laura Guth?
Right. My email is LGUTH1277 at, and this is the hard part, co.jefferson.wa.us. A bit slower. It's LGUTH1277 at co.jefferson.wa.us. .us. And if you forget all that, if you go to the Department of Emergency Management website, there is a place there for contact us. Just tell them you want to volunteer. That email will be forwarded to me. And then I will reach out to folks, explain in more detail what we're doing, what we're looking for, and how we can go forward from there.
Laura Guth, thank you. A way to make it even simpler is folks can write to me at the radio station, email address CATS, C-A-T-S, at kptz.org. Laura Guth, thank you very much for all that you're doing. Valuable work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now I'm looking at my clock. I was intending to play some music. I'd like to play some music that was given to me by Mari Mullen, but I think the truth of the matter is that I don't have time to do that, and also it would be a bit of a trick on the computer. So, Mari, you're not muted, and Cindy is not muted, so I can say hello both to Cindy Finney. Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Welcome to Attention,
hello.
Please.
Hello.
I've not seen you since the time I saw you on Tossed Salad some years ago. Mari Mullen,
right.
Hello to you. Welcome to the show also, and I've seen you more recently. I'm going to hold this up to you so you can see. I've come prepared for these conversations. However, you're prepared for the conversation too. I think you have almost what amounts to a presentation, and I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, or trains of thoughts, we'll say. So we have a bit more, but not much more than 10 minutes. And why don't you say what you feel like you want to? And if I have a question, I will interrupt you. If there's time left over, I will ask some questions. But you sent me an outline. You have been meeting with the two of you. Two of you have been meeting. So I'm going to say just proceed.
Cindy, do you want to kick off and tell a little bit about
the
Community Foundation?
Sure. I'd love to. I'm a director on the First Federal Community Foundation, which is a private charitable corporation that began making grants in 2015. thanks to the gift that First Federal made to the foundation of $12 million. And that happened when we converted, when the bank converted to a publicly traded company. I think, you know, First Federal, the foundation and the bank is committed to creating a broad impact and improving the quality of life in all of the communities in which we maintain full service branches. So to date, we have given out close to $5 million throughout the Clallam, Jefferson, Kitsap, and Whatcom counties. Here in Jefferson County, we've given $1 million over the last 5 years. And our priorities are affordable housing, community development, community support, and economic development. However, in the last year, due to the pandemic, we focused on projects and programs that address the critical issues that were exacerbated by the pandemic. And we gave over $200,000 last year toward those programs. Just for example, some of the things that we've funded just recently, the Jefferson Healthcare Foundation, we donated $20,000 last month for Everyone Deserves a Food Program. The Trinity United Methodist Church, we've given $50,000. This organization provides critical support for childcare. It's an infant and drop-in childcare facility, the only one in Port Townsend. And we've supported other organizations such as the Farmers Market, Bayside Housing, Jefferson Community Foundation, and the Housing Solution Networks just recently. But why we're here today is to talk about our support for Main Street and the program that Mari Mullen has put together, which, you know, I think we all realize that the businesses downtown have just been hit really very, very hard this past year. And it's really important that there's support out there that continues to attract people and visitors and encourages people to shop locally. And so, Mari, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about this program you put together, which is outstanding.
Well, thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Phil, for having us on to talk about it. And it's nice to have things to look forward to, getting out of the pandemic and coming into the sunlight and the longer days. So we have put together through our promotion committee a pretty comprehensive marketing campaign that was made possible by the First Federal Community Foundation. And then we got sponsors to come in, the Port of Port Townsend and Windermere Real Estate and KPTC as a media sponsor, and also the Port Townsend Leader. So we've really designed it with the idea that as COVID restrictions lifted, that we could be welcoming people back into town, locals and visitors. So we've started small, and we have this really fun phone app called Action Bound, and we've got a Port Townsend Treasures trivia hunt that takes you all around downtown with little clues and all, and you can find the app download and the QR codes at the website created for the campaign, which is iloveporttownsend.com, and that has profiles of the 81 businesses that have signed up for this free campaign and has videos of a lot of them, and just it's trying to get people to kind of know the faces behind the brick building facades, and that these are all real people with real jobs and needs, and they really count on locals and visitors to make, you know, make their living and make our town a vibrant place to be for us all. So we're just really grateful to our partners, and we also are going to be launching in the next month some small experiences that are culinary based, Taste of Heaven, like a sweet stroll and a wine walk and a hoppy takeover beer crawl, and some PT Eats focus on restaurants in June. So we're just in the process of signing up restaurants for that. And because KPGZ is all about local music, we know you'll be interested that we kicked off Buskers on the Block on Saturday. And Jonathan Doyle was our first musician, and I hope if there's time at the end you can play some of his music, or I think I sent you Jack Dwyer's music also. But those free performances are on Thursdays and Saturdays at 2 o'clock, and they are kind of pop-up busker events. They will migrate between the Tyler Plaza and Howler Fountain and along Taylor Street, and then in May there'll be some uptown spots as well.
Okay, so now it's my turn to ask a question or three. It seems like you're going to have to take some special measures to make sure that both the relationship in space between the performers and their audiences and the spaces between the people in the audience are all abiding social distance requirements. How are you going to do that?
You know, we have Jonathan perform on Saturday at Howler Fountain, and really there was plenty of room. It was you know, it was people just stopping by, walking down the stairs, catching a few songs, and then he actually had a cover on his clarinet, so he's prepared for that, and he's been busking out at the Chimicum Farm Stand and stuff, so he's used to that. But we have volunteers there passing out masks and hand sanitizer and just keeping an eye on things, volunteers and staff. So it went really well. And, you know, at Tyler Plaza, there'll be a little more room even to spread out. And I think people now, months into this, they are respectful. In Port Townsend, we have found people are just very respectful about the social distancing.
So people know what to do. Jonathan Doyle, clarinet and saxophone player, is among your artists. Also Jack Dwyer, and I believe one or two more.
Oh, there's actually a bunch more. For April, we have Buck Ellard is on Thursday at Tyler Plaza, and he does country music. And then we have Key City Public Theater doing some just fun stuff on the street on Saturday at Tyler Plaza, or just really along Water Street. They kind of do a Commedia dell'arte kind of thing. And then on April 15th, we have Christian Powers and one of his bandmates playing, you know, indie rock, and Flugelhorn Phil. We got several requests for Flugelhorn Phil, so he will be there on April 22nd at the Plaza, and then Jack Dwyer April 24th, and then Jonathan Doyle again on April 29th.
So, Mari, is the schedule for performers on the Main Street website?
It is at iloveporttownsend.com, and I'm just about to, we will load up the May schedule later today. So.
Okay, and you mentioned, and we all can understand this, that many of the businesses in downtown Port Townsend, or for that matter, downtown New York City, have struggled during the pandemic, but also so have artists. Artists in our community and really all around the world, I've spoken to many of them. What you're doing with the buskers, supporting them, is really a wonderful boon for our artistic community as well as for the business community.
And they're very excited to play. You know, it's been really fun to talk to them. And that's another reason we're thankful for the grant, because we can, you know, pay them for their time, and then they put out their tip jar and can earn some extra. And, you know, it's just, and they can sell CDs or whatever they want to do. So it's just encouraging, you know, fun and outdoor music.
One last question. Sometimes outdoors, some days like today, outdoors is a fabulous place to be and to play music and to listen to music. There are other days in our climate which are not so suitable. What provisions have you made for snotty, rainy, windy days?
No, we have decided that it's going to be weather dependent. And if it's really not nice out, there are not going to be people hanging out to even hear the music, and it's not good for the instruments, so we will just schedule them another day. So there's plenty of chances there. If there's two sets of buskers downtown on an afternoon, that is absolutely fine, so we can just double up on some of the other days.
And it is really fun to walk around downtown and to hear the music and to see the performers. And I want to thank you both for being on Attention Please with me, Cindy Finney and Mari Mullen. We have just a couple minutes for me to say thank you again. I think I'm looking forward to being downtown. I'm Phil Andrus. Attention Please comes to you every Monday at 12:35. Hosts vary: Steve Evans, Larry Stein, and Chris Bricker. But it is now time for National Native News.